Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in. Last time we discussed the first chapter of Ruth, which we summarized as Ruth's noble choice, I will go. As a brief recap of chapter 1, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons left Bethlehem for the land of Moab. During the 10 years they were there, Elimelech died, his sons married Moabite women, and then the sons died. Naomi returned to Bethlehem, and one of the daughters-in-law, Ruth, insisted on going with her. Ruth's noble choice was forsaking her Moabite heritage and religion to accept Naomi's family and Jehovah. In this podcast, I'll share some thoughts about Ruth chapter 2. The theme of this chapter is Ruth's lowly service, characterized by her statement, "Let me glean." Chapter 1 ended with the detail that it was the time of barley harvest, but this is not some random statement to give us the time of year. It provides critical context for much of what happens in Ruth 2 and 3. Barley harvest took place toward the end of April. Seeing that the whole city was tending to that, Ruth felt obligated to do something, so she asked Naomi to let her glean among the fields. Gleaning is basically picking up leftovers from a harvest. It's like coming to someone's dinner plate after they're done and finishing off their uneaten fries and chicken bones. The Law of Moses actually had statutes governing this practice. Leviticus 23:22 says this, "When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien." Fields were generally rectangular, but the harvesting process was somewhat circular, so typically there would be corners that still had standing grain. These corners or other leftover areas could be picked over by poor people. Deuteronomy 24:19 has similar instructions. "When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands." Ruth and Naomi certainly qualified as needy, so Ruth took the initiative to provide for the family by picking grain. We're not given any insight into why Ruth picked the field she did. For all we know, it was a random selection. Yet as the story progresses, we start to realize that the hand of God was somehow guiding these events, because the portion of the field she chose to glean in was owned by a man named Boaz. Verse 1 describes Boaz as a man of great wealth, but that is not actually the important part. Boaz was a kinsman of Elimelech, and the importance of this will become evident later. Ruth has been at work for a while by the time Boaz arrives and greets the harvesters. He immediately takes notice of Ruth and gets the scouting report from a servant. Notably, he refers to her only as the Moabite woman. Boaz then speaks to Ruth, and it's clear from the way he addresses her that he is concerned for her safety not only as a young woman but as a foreigner. We have no understanding of the dangers that gleaners would face, but consider that they would have been people who were pretty desperate for food and might have had no problem harming someone else. Boaz does 5 things to protect Ruth. Number 1, he instructs her to glean in his field and no other field. Number 2, he commands the young men among his laborers not to touch her. Number 3, he tells her to remain near his own maidens and to do her gleaning following them. Number 4, he gives her the right to get water at the common drinking place. Ruth is just blown away by this favor she is being shown, and she asks, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Ruth is very aware that she doesn't really belong there, yet she's being given the same rights and privileges as the Hebrew gleaners. Boaz answers that he knows about what she has done for Naomi, and he is so impressed with someone who would leave her ancestral home behind and come to be among the people of Jehovah. It's not like she had to come because her husband made her. It was 100% her choice, probably against the wishes of Naomi. I said there were 5 things Boaz does, and the 5th thing that he does to protect Ruth is to offer a special prayer for her that Jehovah would grant her a rich reward for what she had done to Naomi. Ruth says she feels a lot better now about things and thanks Boaz for his kindness. So what we have at this point is a deep mutual respect for each other based on character. But Boaz does even more things to show kindness to Ruth. 5 more things. 1, he invites her to eat with the other harvest workers. 2, he gives her a special portion of food, so large that she was able to take part of it to Naomi. 3, he instructs the young men harvesting his barley to aid Ruth by purposely leaving handfuls of grain. Now, do you remember the verse about Deuteronomy about not picking up a dropped sheaf? think it would have been fun to know how this played out during the day. Oh, clumsy me, I dropped the barley. And that would be the hint for Ruth to go pick it up. But we don't have those details, unfortunately. Continuing on, number four, he instructs them not to hinder or embarrass her in any manner whatever. And five, similar, but he orders them not to rebuke or to reproach her. This is probably related to her being a foreigner, but I wonder if it could also be that he knows Ruth will be poked at for being Boaz's new favorite now. And at the end of the day, Ruth had gleaned an ephah of barley, or about two-thirds of a bushel. Naomi asked where she was able to get all that, and Ruth said she worked for some guy named Boaz. If this were a movie, Naomi would be drinking something at the point Ruth says Boaz, and she would spew it out. Naomi had not told her to look for Boaz's field, but Ruth had found it anyway. Furthermore, Boaz had shown extraordinary consideration for Ruth. This is the best thing that's happened to Naomi in years, and I'd like to think that Mara actually smiled. As the chapter comes to a close, we learn that Ruth continued to glean during both barley and wheat harvests, which would have taken through the end of May. So that's the story of chapter 2. What can we glean from this chapter? Well, first we see the good example of Ruth, who had a mind to work. She and Naomi had little to nothing, but she did not sit around waiting for some relative or the government to take care of her. She saw a way to help their situation, she had the ability, and she was willing to spend her days working hard and long to accomplish that. People can accomplish a lot when the desire is there. The folks in Nehemiah's time rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem in less than 2 months because, as it says in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, they had a mind to work. In our daily lives, once we get back to them, we need to show that same kind of work ethic. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men." Your work ethic is one way to glorify God. Ruth was also willing to do something that could have been embarrassing to some. There's a certain degree of self-abasement that is required to say, "I'm going to get food by scavenging. I ain't too proud to beg." Add to that the fact that she was a Moabite and would have been subject to insults and possible mistreatment, yet she went on and did it. This is a great example for us. Are there things we don't do because we think they're somehow beneath us? Or maybe we're concerned about the insults or ridicule if we're seen doing something? Paul told the Corinthians that he and the other apostles had been made a spectacle to the world, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. The Hebrew writers said that his readers were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, whether directly or by association. But that didn't stop them from doing what God wanted. Likewise, Ruth's mission was too important to be sidetracked by potential shaming from other people. Ruth also demonstrated a faith that God will provide. When she went out to glean, she didn't seem to have a plan. She didn't have a list of fields she was going to approach first. She was just going to glean and try to find someone who would have favor on her. I recently saw a bumper sticker that said, "Hope is not a strategy." I'm not sure exactly what that's taking a shot at, but I would say that hope was Ruth's strategy. She didn't have it all figured out already, which left plenty of room for God to operate in her life, so when she happened to arrive at the field of Boaz, it was because God helped it to happen. Through all this, I'm reminded of 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7, says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares for you." God gives grace to the humble, and we see that demonstrated with Ruth. We also see good examples from Boaz. The law obligated landowners to leave grain for gleaners, but he went above and beyond what an average person would have done. He showed concern for someone that others would have rejected. You can say Boaz was just being kind to a girl he was interested in, but at this point I see no love interest either way. For one thing, he calls Ruth his daughter in verse 8. This makes me think there's an age difference between them that makes him look at her like a daughter, not a possible girlfriend. And if that is the case, would she really be interested in him either? The protection he arranges for her is what a father might do, but he's doing this for a foreigner. So why? Because he deeply admires what she is now versus what she was. Some of you can probably relate to Ruth if you did not grow up in the Church of Christ. You had to abandon the religion that your family practiced. You had to change your lifestyle. I have great admiration for those of you who have done that and never looked back. Your dedication is especially commendable when I consider how many people grow up knowing the truth but abandon God and the church in their early adult years. In Boaz, we also see how we can be God's agents. What do I mean by that? A minute ago, we read from Peter that God gives grace to the humble, but sometimes he does it through the actions of another person. Boaz was the one showing the undeserved favor to Ruth, but it really derived from God. Sort of the flip side of Matthew 25:40, when God says, "To the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And when we show kindness and compassion, helping others, we're doing the Lord's work. So, now that Boaz and Ruth have met, a light bulb has gone off in Naomi's head. All she has said thus far is, "This man is one of our closest relatives," but the wheels are turning. Tune in next time to find out what scheme she concocts.